Everybody keep taking my shit.
What it is, everybody? My name's Liam Neeson. I mean David Pether, but you can call me Fish.
Fuck my wife. Oh my god.
And here I am sitting with my favorite sack of shit about to do another episode of Fish and Connoisseur a movie. Who are you? Cool. Okay, so for those who listened to our episode last week, you would know that we're doing two shorter episodes. And yes, we know, fucking Taken 3 didn't come out this week. Look, get the fuck over it. We're not reviewing Unbroken. Sorry.
Suck my dick. It's too late at night still.
We are on a bender today. For those, like I said, for those who listened last week, we did a review of Dumb and Dumber.
Guys, just going to do a quick time update. It's 11:11.
11:11.
Make a wish, David.
I wish that this podcast would be over so I can go to bed.
Right. Well, that's a lack of enthusiasm I'm sensing from David
Fish-Pether. No.
David the Rock Pether. All right.
Why do you keep taking my shit?
So we watched two films last week. We watched Dumb and Dumber and Taken 3 in the same day because I am currently right now in Japan.
How is it, by the way?
It's fucking pretty cold.
Yeah?
I'm snowboarding.
How's the fish?
I've probably broken my leg by now.
God, it would be so funny if you did that. How's the fish?
How's the fish?
Yeah.
How am I as the fish?
No.
The sushi.
Because there's lots of fish there, right?
Well, the sushi.
How's the...
ramen?
How's the ramen?
Tasty. Thank
you for
asking.
How's the future robots?
Futuristic.
Are you on the train right now?
Probably.
Does it smell like ramen and fish?
No.
And the future?
It more smells like new car, because everything's new in Tokyo.
Really?
It's just so clean.
Is it really?
There's anime characters everywhere. Why am I... I'm sitting next to a Pikachu right now.
Fuck.
Fuck. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I'm in Japan. Sorry about that. We didn't do a review this week, so we've done like a backup review of Taken 3, because last week there was a few movies that came out. And two big ones that we both wanted to talk about was Dumb and Dumber and...
Taken 3!
Which is what we're going to get onto now.
I love it.
All right. And as you probably heard last week, this will be a shorter episode because we're getting straight into a review.
Fucking damn right it'll be a shorter episode. Fucking so sleepy. So sleepy.
All right. So Taken 3 is now a trilogy. Who saw that shit coming?
Most people after... they announced it.
Well, after that, but I, even after Taken 2, I didn't think they'd make another one.
Really?
No.
Oh, I kind of...
After Taken 1, I didn't think they'd make another one.
Once I found out they were making a Taken 2, they also said they were making a third.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that's why.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, I don't know. The Taken 1 was kind of like a good standalone film. I was happy to get some sequels because I really like Liam Neeson, as most people know.
You're a huge fan.
Huge fan. I'm actually starting to think, because I was always a really big Arnie fan, and he's really the Arnie of this today, isn't he?
Put my cookie down! He shouldn't be, because he's a fucking spectacular actor. Like, action films were not his forte, and now they have become...
Well, isn't that the funny thing? Was it you telling me that he was supposed to be James Bond? Was that you? Or did
no.
I read that somewhere? I read somewhere that he originally got offered James Bond or was in the running for a James Bond, but he didn't want to make action movies.
Yeah. It's different with James Bond, though, because once you're James Bond, you are James Bond.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but at the time, Liam Neeson wasn't making action films. Like, he was maybe a, you know...
Yeah, no. Where... I understand what you mean, but I'm saying, like, even if he wanted to do action films, like, he's known as Liam Neeson. Like, it's Liam Neeson's
film. It's worked out better for him, for sure. But at the time, he would have been a nobody.
A brilliant
and,
James
and
Bond.
And it would have been, like, fucking a Bond.
Yeah.
I actually can't really see him as a James Bond. I don't know.
I can.
He's not, like, he doesn't have that suave
His
look.
Nose is too big.
Yeah. He's more of a, like, that rough and fucking get down and dirty sort of dude where you need your Pierce Brosnans. And your Daniel Craigs, who are just like fucking suave as shit.
English as shit.
Yeah, English as shit also. But I just think that's funny that he didn't want to make action movies and now he pretty much is the action guy.
Him and
The Rock are the action guys.
Dwayne the Fish Johnson. I think The Rock is more like Arnie. I think Liam Neeson's more like Bruce Willis. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but I think in terms of, like, you go to see... Like, I think The Rock's the same, but The Rock tends to make different... He's trying to do different things, which I kind of respect what he does. Like, he didn't just fit the mold of action hero. He did, like, the Tooth Fairy and, you know, all these other weird offshoots.
Just like Arnie, though. I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah. But he's taken sort of that route. But when you think of how popular Arnie was, like, in the 80s and 90s, like, I think Liam Neeson is that now, if you know what I mean.
No,
like,
I agree.
I've been talking to a lot of people. Like, he's probably one of the only actors out there that you go to his movie because it's a Liam Neeson movie rather than, like, even Leonardo DiCaprio, is probably the best actor around these days, or one of the best at least. He fucking should get an Oscar at some point. But every movie, he's one of my guys that I'm like, fuck, Leo's in it. I'm seeing it.
Leo.
But I don't think of it as a Leonardo DiCaprio film. Like, I don't think of Wolf of Wall Street as a Leonardo DiCaprio film.
No, I feel it
as Martin Scorsese and Leonardo, you know.
It's a Scorsese film, not a DiCaprio film.
Yeah. Whereas if Scorsese made a film with Liam Neeson as the star, I would still think of it as a Liam Neeson film.
I'll just go do something real quick. Just real quick.
Okay.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? All right, I'm done. I literally, every time someone brings up The Rock, I just want to make a reference.
Just want to do that.
Can you smell? I always say, what he's cooking? Like, oh, what's he cooking? And no one fucking gets it. Nobody gets that. They're like,
really?
What? I'm like, he was a wrestler. That was his, like, intro. And they're like,
this
what?
Big thing.
You watch wrestling? I'm like, I fucking did when I was 10, you dick. Like, Jesus.
I still watch it now. I've actually just started watching it again.
It's because you've got the game.
It's
You're
so good,
obsessed.
Though. I've been watching a lot of The Rock's old stuff as well, and he comes out and he's like, the millions and millions of The Rock's fans.
The people's champion, they called him.
Yeah, he had a lot of good fucking little catchphrases back in there.
You know why? Because you could smell what he was cooking.
I could smell.
What was it? Fish?
Jabronis.
I think it's just fish because you're in Japan.
Yeah, fucking.
And ramen.
I'm so tall here. So tall in Japan. I'm like a basketball player here. I'm a short person for people who know me. Anyway, let's get on to the plot summary. So, the first one, they took his daughter. The second one, they took his wife. Yes?
Yes.
And then he got taken.
Yes.
In the second one. Twist.
The third one, they fucking kill his wife.
Shit.
And he's on the run because he got framed for it by some Russians and his ex-wife's current husband. Well, late ex-wife's husband.
Yes.
Because he wouldn't be
They're
late.
Still married together.
Yeah.
But she's dead.
And he got framed by them and he's got to look after his little daughter.
Yeah, so enough of that shit. So the wife gets killed. He gets framed. Fucking, he goes on the run from the law, as you said in your beautiful song.
And the Russians.
There's Russians in the mix. And in the end, because obviously Liam Neeson didn't kill his fucking wife because he loved his wife. He wants to look after his daughter as much as he can. But there's this jerk off Forrest Whitaker, or however you say his fucking last name.
St. John was his last name or something.
No, the Forrest Whitaker, the fucking cop.
Oh, right.
He's chasing him and being all like, I'm a cool Whitaker, cop. Yeah. Whitaker, that's it. And in the end, we find out that there's these Russians involved and that they're the ones that knocked off the wife.
The Russians.
So Liam Neeson teams up with Mr. St. John, who is late. How did you put it?
His late ex-wife's husband.
Yes. And because his late ex-wife's husband said that he got into some bad blood and owed these people money or something, and it was something to do with that. So Liam Neeson's, all right, well, let's go fuck them up. They go fuck them up, and then in a fucking twist that everybody's seen coming, oh shit, it was the fucking, you know, the mastermind behind it all
the bad guy was the douchebag. It was St. John.
What did you call him? What was he? The late
ex-wife's husband. Stop fucking getting me to say it. You know I don't like it. God damn it.
So it was the late ex-wife's fucking husband.
Fucking husband.
And you know why I'll get into why we fucking knew that this guy was going to be the bad guy. But that's pretty much the thing. Then he tries to escape in a plane. Liam Neeson steals a fucking Porsche. and fucking takes out the plane with a Porsche in true fucking fantastic Liam Neeson style.
That was a real cool moment.
It really was. And reunites with his daughter, saves the daughter. Oh, we forgot to take... This was the only bit where somebody gets taken.
Second bit. Lenny gets taken.
Lenny.
In the camera.
Oh, yeah, true. But huh. I don't... Who cares about her?
Gotcha.
Well,
fucking Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson did. Yeah, true. The daughter's been taken hostage by St. John and trying to fly away in the plane. Liam Neeson fucks it up. They reunite and everything's all sweet. Oh, and the daughter's pregnant.
Yeah, which is... Okay.
Yeah, so people who've seen the movie, which you should have by now. It's been out for fucking a week. Come on. Oh, 2 weeks.
If you ever get mad at us for spoiling something, we're not fucking sorry, ever.
Yeah.
We're not sorry.
Soz, not soz.
Why would you watch? Why would you read a review for something if you didn't want it to? Fuck you. Now.
Yeah. All right. So, a number three. Well, I've gone into how I felt about. Like, I really like Taken 2. I know a lot of people. You don't like Taken 2, do you?
No, I don't like.
You're about to say I fucking hate.
No, Taken I was actually 2. About to say I fucking love Taken 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Bound to get into that. I really like Taken 1. Yeah. I remember watching it and I was like. This is so good.
I watched it again not too long ago, and it still stands up.
It's amazing. A good film. I love that. I need you to focus, and he just fucking, and he stabs him with the fucking nails, and he attaches. Oh, filthy. That's a damn good bit. That movie makes me sing. That was Taken one.
Taken two.
No.
Take two.
No, it just wasn't. Because I don't like it.
We have talked about this a bit when coming up where we talked about the trailer to Taken 3. But I really liked the... Like, look, Taken 2 is nothing compared to Taken 1.
No.
Taken 1 is, like, probably one of the best action films of all time.
Oh, by far.
And it's, like, it's up there with your diehards and your fucking Terminators and Predators and shit like that. And that's why it really cemented Liam Neeson as an action star. Like, he's had some really good movies, but I don't think anything got anywhere near as good as Taken. Although I did really like Nonstop. Nonstop was cool.
Nonstop's not an action film. That's a thriller.
Action thriller. I put him
really?
Kind
you
of
gonna
the
say
same.
That's an action film?
He's got a gun. He's fucking shooting it. It's action.
He shoots it once.
Okay. Action One thriller.
One bullet.
Action thriller.
That's not a genre.
Fucking Taken is a thriller.
Taken is not a thriller.
Taken is an action thriller.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah. It's a genre for Taken.
And that's what he kind of does. That's what he kind of went a little too thriller when he made A Walk Among the Tombstones, which we were both pretty indifferent to, weren't
we? It was pretty fucking terrible.
What did you get? You gave that a fairly low score. I think
I gave
it a
two.
I gave it a three.
Because it's fucking boring. Like,
yeah, it was.
Because, like, you've got this character who's so... never mind. Back to,
but
back
we're, to, we're like... It was good... To get Liam Neeson back to what Liam Neeson does well, and that's just like kick-ass fucking action thriller. I was pretty keen for Taken 3 because I liked the progression of the story into Taken 2. I thought that was pretty well done. I thought a lot of the action sequences in Taken 2 were really cool as well.
I didn't...
Really? See, I don't know. I've watched it a few times and I still really like it. I don't...
The only one I remember, is the scene where he's on the phone and he fucking kicks everyone's ass... While he's on the phone, like is that what happens? He's on the phone. He's just kicking the shit out in
I
the
think
courtyard.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking brilliant. And he's just on the phone still, and they're pointing guns. At
yeah,
him.
That's the
gun.
Scene I always think of.
That's
when I think
that's
of that,
a, that was great. But that's the only one that I can really like. I really enjoyed. I think the rest of that film just felt so flat and just so generic to me. I don't think it did what the first one did well.
No, it didn't have the same feel as the first one.
But I did like the flow of the story. Like, Taken 2 is like, hey, this fucking dude messed up all those guys.
Yeah, and we touched on that last time we spoke about it. I think that is revolutionary in the action. Like, how many action sequels have there been that, you know, these people kill thousands of people and there's no repercussion for it? Yeah. Like, fucking, it was nice to have that link. But Taken 3... Because the big thing in this one is that he's now on the run from
the
police now, like from actually, like, and he's kind of always been kind of on the run from it, but that's sort of the focus here, at least for the first half of the film. And obviously with the wife dying, that's a pretty big deal.
I just found a massive plot hole in this movie. The start of the film starts with the Russian dude killing the accountant and he's like, hey, you don't have our money, this is a fucking message we're going to send you. But in the end of the film, it's revealed that the big bad guy was this Saint John guy, and he actually hired the Russian to kill his wife to get the insurance. Wait, no, it makes sense now. But what?
I did have a bit of a trouble following.
Wait,
who these bad guys were?
He got the Russians that he owed money to kill his wife to get the insurance money to give back to the Russians that he hired because he owed them money.
Right.
And then he...
So how was St. John involved with them in the first place?
I don't know, because after two fucking movies, suddenly he's an evil bad guy.
Was he something to do with that accountant at the start? Like,
yeah, that was his accountant. That was St. John's accountant.
That was St. John's accountant. Yeah, because that's who they call. Yeah. Okay. Fuck, see, I had a really hard time following all that shit because...
And this movie doesn't follow the other ones either.
No, not at all.
That's annoying.
What are you talking about in terms of what?
Well, the plot, it has nothing to do with the other two at all.
No.
And that's annoying because it's set up in the second one that there's going to be...
It's like, connected.
Like, when you watch the trailer, you're like, fuck, that guy at the end when he's like, I've all this family, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like... They're getting revenge. It's this big personal revenge thing, and it's just like this.
Yeah, and that was definitely my biggest issue with this film was, and that's what I like so much about Taken 2, and what I was really disappointed with how they didn't have a connection to either of those films. They kind of mention, that thing that he did in Istanbul, and Paris or whatever, and it's kind of like, is that it? Like, and it almost could have been its own thing, like this film. It really didn't have anything to do at all.
No, not at all.
And that's really annoying.
You know what else is really fucking annoying about this film? Let's go into things we hate. We're doing the review. Let's go into things we hate here. One of my biggest gripes with this film is I went into this like, holy fuck, this will be good. It's like hometown, you know, it's America. You know, America, it's where he's from. It's going to be fun to watch.
America!
You know, he's on the run, it's different. You know, he's on the run, that's the point.
Yeah.
But... The whole film's like, it should be not called Taken. It should be The Chronicles of Forrest Whitaker, because this fucking film follows the cop more than it follows Liam Neeson. Like, a solid quarter of this film is dedicated to his bullshit character, who is so boring. I don't care. I never gave a shit about these cops.
When you're saying that it's dedicated to him, but you don't really know anything about him, do you? Like, no. He has all these little fucking ticks that he has. Like,
why the fuck does he have a chess piece that he carries around?
And a rubber band?
Yeah.
What were those? It was supposed to be like he's some sort of OCD.
He's like stressed and he like smacks himself when he gets beaten. But he's got a fucking chess piece because it's like, oh, symbol, it's a game of chess. Okay, that's real fucking cool. Why carry it to a fucking restaurant? But it just focused so much on him. And then you look at the first Taken from start to finish, it just follows Liam Neeson. And that's where a lot of the charm comes in. You don't know the bad guys. You don't know how he's going to get through this. You don't know what he's doing. You don't know what anyone else is thinking. You just know that he is going to fucking tear shit up. And this is just like, it's like a quarter of the film is, he's really good. Like, that's what the film is. Get to the school before he does, because he's really good at being, like, a badass.
Oh, he's caught you. He's caught you. Yeah. No, you've caught him. Oh, no, he's playing you.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I think that was the scene when they do come in and bust him when he's looking at the security tape.
Oh, that was such a cool bit.
Of his wife getting taken. Taken. There's that first taken you were talking about. That's where there's a big shift in the film, because it's all Neeson up until then.
Yeah.
And then when he's in the back of that cruiser and they're like, yo, I know you got to, and they're talking to, the cops are talking to Whitaker over the phone, and Whitaker's all like, no, stop. He's fucking playing you. And that's when I started to feel like it was focusing more on the cops there.
It's not a Taken film as soon as that happens.
Yeah. Like, it does come back to Neeson here and there, but it's so all over the place. But I didn't care about the cops, and the cops were... I'm in two minds about the cops as characters in this film, because I feel like they really annoyed me. And it was one because they're just shit characters and whatever.
They're given so much time.
And for no reason. Like, we don't need to know. All we need to know is that they're bad guys chasing him. Like, I liked it at the start, that first chase scene where there's generic cop number one chasing him through all those fucking houses and stuff. That's all I needed to see of the cops. We need to see a badge and a dude with a gun. Like, we just need to know that they're the law chasing him down.
I hated that he fucking hid below a car and found a magical water tunnel that takes him through a sewer, though.
I felt like, yeah, I wasn't sure if he was, like, he knew about it or whatever, but he couldn't have.
Taken's charm comes from how smart he is.
Yeah.
That he just gets himself out of every situation. Like, he uses wit. And the fact that the first action sequence, he gets out of it by hiding under a car and just going, oh, whoops, here's some wooden planks that I can remove and swim the fuck away. And then for some reason, nobody, no other police officer thought to look under the car.
Yeah.
It takes the fucking Forrest Whitaker detective to come in a couple of hours later to fucking go, move the car? Are you serious?
Hey, that's why he gets paid the big bucks. Yeah, that's why he's detective.
As soon as that happened, I thought, that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, that's why he gets paid the big money, because he moves the cars.
But the way that Neeson played that role, I kind of felt like, and it there's no writing to back this up, but I felt like he knew it was there, just because he wasn't like all fumbling and all like, oh fuck, thank God. He threw the gun away as like a kind of distraction sort
but
of
why?
Thing.
Why? Like,
yeah, I wasn't really sure what the meaning
if he
of
like
that was.
If he fucking smashed a window,
yeah,
and then threw the gun, yeah, would make plenty of sense. But the fact that he literally went slide and it was like 5 meters from the car, like, yeah, how fucking stupid would you have to be to go, oh, there's a gun there. It's a totally, yeah, locked house.
I thought there was some sort of reasoning behind it, but he did look like he knew what he was doing, yeah, if you know what I mean. Like,
no,
still,
you're totally right, because Liam Neeson knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's good at being Liam Neeson.
Yeah, but I did really like that chase scene up until then. I thought that was a really cool chase scene. And I will say one thing, this movie was shot really cool. Shaky cam was fucking pretty well used.
Don't know how I feel about it. I enjoyed it a little bit initially,
yeah,
and then it just really put me off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I was talking to Belle about it when we were watching it, and I'm like, the reason it's so fast, because they're doing all these quick zooms and stuff, I'm like, the reason it's like that is because the editing is so fast as well. They just want to get through this bullshit so you see fun stuff. That's why they're doing it. So it's just to pace it. But then nothing fun happens. So,
oh, no.
Well, nothing.
No.
Okay.
A lot of fun stuff happens in this movie.
Let me rephrase that. Not enough fun stuff happens.
Because I found that the editing was so quick, but they have a lot of quick cuts between one action. Like, you know, like a semi-trailer fucking about to fall over or something.
Yeah.
There's like 30 shots in a matter of like 5 seconds, and it's edited so quickly. But I really liked that because I thought, because, you know, there's good shaky cam and there's shit shaky cam. I actually really like the shaky cam of like the Bourne movies. A lot of people get a bit over that. It's a bit, and like a lot of people get motion sickness.
Took a lot from that, it seemed.
Oh, very much. And but I thought the editing in this was swifter.
I liked the editing.
And I don't know. I'd really, really, because I was never disorientated though. Always knew where everything was. Where a lot of times with shaky cam, they'll fucking cross the line. They'll do this wrong. They'll do this wrong just to try and fucking
throw
you off.
This film crossed the line.
It crossed the line a lot, but I always knew where I was, if you know what I mean. I always knew the orientation of everything in the scene, and because I was ready to be fucking critical of it, because I was sitting there, and it's probably not a good thing that I'm noticing that it's shaky cam, because realistically I should be just sitting there watching the film and being that. But when I started thinking about it, and I was kind of like, okay, well, let's see what you got, fucking Mr. Megaton.
I think I was literally like I think I was the opposite. I think I noticed it and went, oh, cool, shaking hand, that's cool, that's different. And then because I noticed it and went, I do not like this. I should not be aware that this is happening. I want to. Like, shaking cam is done well in a lot of films. This isn't one of them, I don't think.
No, I disagree. Very well done. I thought it was really well done.
This is where the editing was great though. The editing suited it really well. I love the editing in this film. I was a big fan, but shaky cam, not so much. I just think it was too much.
Oh man, like, I've seen a lot of really bad shaky stuff, cam, and like, you know, just for the sake of shaky. And there's another thing, this is totally off topic, but I'm gonna go onto it anyway.
Jesus Christ, we've been talking for ages.
You know how we talk in a lot of films these days, with just like a normal dialogue scene, they have like a guy on a dolly just going backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
just to have that movement.
Yeah, no, but the dialogue was great. It was so good for the dialogue scenes. If that's
no, I'm not talking about this movie.
Sorry,
no,
forgive me.
I'm just talking fucking in terms of movies lately. I'm finding there's these stupid cheap tricks for people to try and act like they're moving the camera with purpose, but there is no purpose to it. And like a lot of dialogue scenes in films, like this one, I don't know, I can't even remember. I think it was mostly shaky cam in this, but there was like, they just move it backwards and forwards, and then some
cuts in a dialogue scene, you'll see where the dolly stops. It's got to the end of the track.
And then
starts
the other
moving
way.
Back, and you're like, oh my God, that just looks so shit. But anyway, rant over.
That's
after
like
that.
A Usual Suspects thing. They do it in that a lot. The dialogue scenes in Usual Suspects, if you take note.
But they're done with purpose, and it's done well. It's not just for, oh, let's move the camera because it's that's the camera looks needs cool. To be moving, it's with purpose. Yeah, okay, so back to. Let's quickly talk about the fucking Mr. St. John, who was the bad guy in fucking every movie he's ever been in.
Is he the husband in the other two?
I can't remember. I don't know. I can't. I don't.
I know it's the same character, but
I remember him from The Equalizer, where he was the bad guy.
Wait, what was that movie about?
Him versus Denzel Washington.
So it's Liam Neeson versus, as Denzel.
Yeah. And you know, I actually commended this film when you kind of thought he was a good guy, like when you were kind of on the same team. I was like, oh, they're not going to go the obvious route and make him the big bad kingpin guy, fucking whatever.
Guess what he
and then
is.
They did. And it was so obvious when he walked in and had the talk with him and said, get away from my wife and all this. I was like, fuck, he's definitely
this
the
movie doesn't do what Taken 1 did. And that pisses me off. It makes me sad because you're right. And you're totally right. Like, this movie hits all the cliches of an action film and it feels so generic. It doesn't feel like a Taken film because it puts all this time not on the one person we give two fucks about, which is Liam Neeson. I care about his daughter a little bit.
I care about his daughter a lot. I think she still played that role fairly well. And
I just like her though. She's like cool actress.
She's a really cool actor and really pretty. Really pretty actress. She's not a glamour, if you will. She's more of like that girl next door sort of look. And I think that's really cool. And she actually kind of looks a little bit like Liam Neeson.
She does her job well. Like, she's good in this. And she's, because we've grown up with her, she's one of those characters you kind of want to see.
Yeah.
But there's so much time put on these other characters and it hits these cliches that I wish it didn't. Like, Taken 1 broke so many fucking rules, action film rules. He's not a good guy. Like, he's not the wholesome guy.
He does what he has to do.
He's like, you fucking piece of shit. You fucking stole my daughter. I will fucking kill all of you. He tells them, he's like, I will kill all of you. I will murder you all. What does he do? He gets there and he fucking kills all of them. Yeah. He brutally tortures one of them and like fries him.
Yeah.
That's what made, for me, Taken 1 so powerful was that, for one, he uses wit the whole way through it. Everything he does is so great. It's so powerful and strong and smart. You don't think it's going to happen. Like, the bit where he goes to the French cop's house that he knows and fucking shoots his wife in the fucking shoulder. And he's like, don't you fuck with me.
Yeah.
She'll be fine, but you fuck with me. Like, that sort of thing. Like, holy, like, that's
it
what
was just, it was just that one track mind of, I'm getting my daughter back.
And that's what made the film so special was that he's a fucking man on a mission. And I mean, they give you this brilliant setup, which is why I'm so excited. They killed his ex-wife. Like, they killed a family member. He should be fucking everybody up. He should be looking at cops and just popping them left and right. Like, it would have been so satisfying for me to see him not give a shit. Like, he sees, you know, when he's on the bed, you know, when he's there and he fucking sees his wife, he's staring at his dead wife. It would have been brilliant if you just see like blood pouring from her throat and he's on the floor and these cops are there and he just kicks the shit out of them in rage and just fucking goes ballistic because there's so, like, they even have that a family member of his is the bad guy. That this guy that he shouldn't like by default is an awful person. He should have fucking murdered the shit out of him. He should have absolutely just brutalized the crap out of him. And I think that's why I love Taken 1. That is why I love Taken 1, is that wit and, like, that smartness he has about him, that intelligence, and the brutality that he has.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think his wit is there in this movie, but it's just not as clever. It's not as well done.
And like, when it's done, still, though, it's great.
Yeah, because he still knows what he's doing. But, like, little things like, you know, him breaking out of the back of that cruiser because he just happened to have a little blade in his fucking thing. It's kind of like, oh, really? Isn't there something else that he... Yeah. Like, we've seen that. Like, Taken 1 did things I hadn't seen, you know? Like, and you're right. He should... I couldn't put my finger on it, but that's exactly what it is. It's the fact that he doesn't get pissed off enough. He doesn't get... Like,
he has no real motivation. He's not,
because in this one, I don't think he really, like, he cares, obviously, that his wife is dead, but it's like,
he never seemed to give a shit.
He seems to be more worried about being framed and obviously looking after his daughter once shit goes down later in the film. But like, and that's my big problem with this movie is nobody particularly gets taken in the sense of the other two. You know what I mean? Like, the big Taken is called Taken because his daughter gets taken. And this, in the second one, he kind of gets taken and it's like his wife gets taken. It's a little bit muddled, but like, there's no, it's just a death in this one. It's like avenging a dead one and clearing his name.
And that would have, I think, been okay if the, if it felt like it, just because someone didn't get taken doesn't make it not a Taken film. I think his character and the themes and everything about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like what we were talking about, Dumb and Dumber last week, and you know, the Hangovers and stuff. Like, people don't like it too much when you keep the same formula. Yeah. And I'm not saying
it suffers from Hangover 3 syndrome, doesn't it?
It's very much. Yeah, very much so. Hangover 3 was awesome. Poster right there, but it it goes too far off it. It does. Mm. It does do what a Hangover 3 does, and it, like we were saying earlier in the podcast, it could have been Liam Neeson's Dead instead of Taken. You know, like something else. Like, it just called it something. It didn't need to be a Taken movie.
It's like if you put the brutality that Taken 2 kept from the first one and the cool plot that his wife is dead, that his wife is killed. He's looking at his dead fucking wife in front of him in the third one. And you put that plot together, I think you would have got a really cool film. And instead, they've gone with this, oh, I'll punch him in. Oh, like, the, you know the bit where, this is going to lead straight into a story too. The bit where he gets that really cool fight with the Russians in the shopping, the liquor store. Mm. And he's finally got this Russian. He's got his gun, like a gun to his head, and he's like, tell me who you work for. He's like, I'd rather die than talk to you. And the Russian fucking pulls the trigger for himself and blows his own brains out. Man, I was sitting there and I was like, you better fucking shoot him in the face. He better say something like, I'd rather die. And you're like, okay. And you just fucking blow his brains out. Like, you need to kill the shit out of this guy. Like, you know, these are the guys that killed your wife. You know that. Fucking show me that you really hate him, you know? And there was even the bit in the trailer. I totally forgot the story. So when he fucking dies, so we're in a full cinema, we're all sitting there. I may have laughed hysterically when you think Liam Neeson's dead and his car rolls down a giant hill and it just fucking spontaneously combusts. Yeah. And I piss myself, which I think probably pissed you off, Fish, because you're like, oh, fuck off, Connor, stop laughing.
Was dumb. It didn't need to blow up.
And yeah, I was like, it just went phew.
But I do like that Liam Neeson, how he got out of it. And when you see that, that's so Liam Neeson. With any other actor, I'd be like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, Liam Neeson. Neeson,
yes. Yep. And this, like, this guy dies, and it just cuts to a wide, and Liam Neeson standing over the body, and the guy is fucking breathing. Like, you see this huge breath. Is that, that's what I was laughing at.
I was laughing at more of the way that he was folded over himself. Like, I thought that looked
funny. I was laughing.
I didn't see him breathe.
I just see his stomach, and it just fucking inflates, like, as it's cut, it, like, cuts as it inflates. And David and Mel, we all went together, and you just hear, because we thought it was funny, and you hear this guy in the front go, ha! which obviously set me, David, and Mel off. So we start fucking, like, belting out with laughter, which sets him off, which sets the people behind us off, and we're all just laughing, because it's so fucking stupid. Oh, man, yeah, that was, but that pissed me off, though. Like, why wouldn't you fucking blow his brains out? He killed your wife, man. Yeah. Come on.
No, you're right. We're talking about comedy.
I'm getting lightheaded. I'm yelling.
Talking about comedy elements. Like, I found I was laughing a lot at the cheesy, like, family stuff at the start of it. And just Liam Neeson being a nice guy and saying nice things. Like, when he says something to that panda, that he buys his daughter a giant panda, and he's like,
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, he's like, I know what you're thinking. Like, but in that Liam Neeson voice, so good. I fucking loved it. Like, it's so shit, but so good at the same time. And this, because that's what I liked a lot about, like, Arnie's older films, especially the ones when he started doing his, you know, Kindergarten Cops and Jingle All the Ways, was putting this big manly man in a family situation. It's just like that's a funny thing. And I kind of liked it, but It's a big problem that a lot of action films get wrong these days is they just make those fucking scenes too lame. Like, they're too lovey-dovey family, shitty, whatever.
Yeah. Lovey-dovey, like, family, shitty, whatever.
You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, and it's I understand what the reasoning behind it is, because he's about to lose everything that he loves and all that sort of stuff. But see, I believed it more in Taken 1 than what I believed in this one.
Well, in Taken, look, Taken 1 is a fantastic movie. It is by far just one of the best action films, like you said. It's just so spot on. He's like a deadbeat. He's a fucking wash up.
Yeah.
He has no motivation because he's such an OCD, like OCD prick. Like, yeah. He's not a very, at the start, like you understand, because we're like, oh, you know, you feel bad for him, but he's a bit of a dick, you know. He's trying his hardest, but he just can't get away from his previous life, and he lives in a shitty apartment. And in this one, he's just, and that's the problem. It's like, it's so wholesome. Like, he's just this good guy doing good things the whole way through.
Which I'm okay with. It just could have been done in a better way. Because, I just don't think it was done well.
Because, but like, it doesn't do it enough. Like, it goes, he's like, yeah, my daughter is my priority. That's why I'm running from the police and not helping them, you know, because he wants to save his daughter, and they know they're just going to try and go through the bullshit court case and shit.
Yeah.
But then it goes straight from him doing, like, him being this fucking awesome vigilante to him, like, oh, it's not right to you know, do this. And I, yeah, just, oh.
Yeah, you're, yeah. No, I think you've hit the nail on the head with it, that he just is losing that roughness about him, that Liam Neeson roughness.
The grit that made Taken so special. Yeah. But there is that real cool bit where he's checking the security cameras. One of the coolest bits in the movie, like, because it's original, you know? And he's just on the security cameras, and the cops come in, and there's no hope. He can't escape. And they're like, freeze! He doesn't fucking move. Like, he's just still on the computer.
Continues studying the screen.
How cool was that? Like, that's a Taken thing.
Yeah, I really liked that, but I did, I kind of hoped it would pay off a bit better. I don't know if it was him getting caught, or because I was like, it's kind of like the big thing here is, how's he going to get out of this?
Yeah, the payoff was terrible.
And then the payoff was just him getting that little blade out of his wrist or fucking whatever.
Even if he grabbed something off the table and like use that in the car, like there was just,
because I didn't even know if they needed to capture him. I thought he would just wait until they get close to him and then he'd just fuck him up or something like that, which, you know, would have been fine. But but other than that, the lead up in that scene was just so tense.
I'm literally
they're both
that,
like they're both like fucking, yeah, freeze. He's not moving. Stop what you're doing and all this. It was good. It was good.
That was
we're ragging the shit out of this movie, but there actually were a lot of good moments in this film. And
the Porsche scene, smashing the plane.
Once he gets in that Porsche, he is fucking flogging it in that car, and that is so cool. Like, the way they've shot the speed of that car is just fantastic. He is fanging it.
Those are kind of the two moments I really remember, to be honest. I don't really think anything else was too,
I didn't good. Mind when after he, when he when he takes the thing out of his wrist and gets out of his cuffs. I didn't mind that little car chase scene. Yeah. I thought that was quite cool. I really liked the chase scene at the start when he first is running away from generic cop number one. A lot of the action sequences were done well, I think. And
you'd want to hope so in an action film, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And but Liam Neeson in general was fucking awesome still. I still think he brought his A game.
He's a world-class actor. Like, he's put in a position where he doesn't really have to do much, so he does what he has to do fucking good. Like, he's good at it.
Yeah.
You can never, I don't ever expect Liam Neeson in his films to be bad. He was awesome in A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's always good, except for that accent he put on A Walk Among the Tombstones. That was shocking.
Yeah, it kind of disappeared after a while though. That's it. Like, well, should we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Should we get in? Well, what's your verdict?
It was mediocre, man. It wasn't very good. There were some cool bits, like that I was like, wow, that's Taken. But overall, like, it was just so bland. It was so generic. And I was really disappointed because I had so much hope. Like, he had so much drive and motivation to really get that true Taken grit. And instead, it just felt like just a bad excuse for a Taken film. Like, I wasn't satisfied by the end of it. And I'm going to give it a 2.
Taken 2. Do you like Taken 2 better than this one?
I saw it once in the movies, but I think so. I didn't like it when it came out because I compared it to Taken, but I think if I put the two together, I probably would, because the quarter of Taken 2 isn't taken up by Forrest Whitaker, which is fucking stupid. But Taken 2 was just too much, I think. That was what I didn't like. It was just too much of what Taken did, and it didn't. It was so fast paced and action packed, and it didn't have that those moments where you really see Brian Mills be a smart guy, be a real witty dude enough. It had those moments, but I just don't think it had enough. So
yeah,
yeah.
What about Walk Among the Tombstones? Do you think it's better than that?
Better than that, I think, because I like the characters more.
Yeah.
But the fucking action in Walk Among the Tombstones is way better. I still think the opening sequence in Walk Among the Tombstones, that action's just the sound design and the way it was cut is fucking spectacular. Like, such a great, realistic action scene.
Yeah, it's a different style, isn't it?
It's one of my favorite. Honest to God, it's one of the best I think I've seen all year. It was, like, for a movie I did not like at all. That stuck with me. Like, just the sound of those gunshots, just the doof. Like, it's just this power. Yeah. And, I wish more movies did stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I was always going to like this to a certain extent because it's Taken and because it's Liam Neeson. Like, it was the same with Walk Among the Tombstones. Look, I couldn't tell you I hated that movie. I think I gave it a 3. I think
it was a 3 gave it.
I probably wouldn't watch it again, but I liked it because it was Liam Neeson. If that movie didn't have Liam Neeson in it, it would be nothing. And this is kind of the same. If it didn't have Liam Neeson playing the character from fucking Taken, it's just another action movie, which probably would have been okay by itself. And I might have liked it more because I didn't have those expectations. But it just has no connection to the other films, which really is just shit. It's just shit. And nothing really about being taken either. Like, and that's not me saying, oh, let's fucking repeat the same formula over and over again. Do it, but do a twist on it. Have something fun with it. Like, the movie's called Taken. Have something be taken. This girl's life's been taken, but it's just not... Like, it didn't matter. Liam Neeson's character never didn't felt care like it about mattered. It.
Yeah. No, I agree completely.
He was more worried about, like... And they don't ever say this, but I felt like he was more worried about...
being framed.
Yeah. Saying that, there was fantastic action sequences in this film, and I really liked the way it was shot, and I really liked the daughter... and I really like Liam Neeson. So there was a lot of good things, but there's a lot of bad cliches, like you were saying as well. My most hated cliche is that they made the guy who looks like a bad guy who played a bad guy in every fucking movie be the bad guy.
The husband wasn't even a bad guy in the other two, which is disappointing too. He's just this
He had nothing to do with anything.
No,
like,
and now they...
I'm going to have to go back and watch and see if he actually is in them, because I don't remember him from them.
It just seems silly, though. It just seems like so out of the blue, you know?
Yeah.
For him to be such like a just a dude, that a character, a family member.
Because that was always the thing, was that, you know, he was just a nothing guy. Yeah. He was just a normal person, whereas Liam Neeson is such a badass.
Like,
and that's
if
why
he's got
so
all
much
these
cooler.
Fucking connections and his wife's daughter gets fucking taken, wouldn't he be like, I'll get my Russian guy friends to sort it out?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit of a muddle there. The more I've talked about it, the less I like it, and the more I think about it, I had a really hard time following what the fuck was going on with all the bad guys and all that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I had to ask you to clear it up for me, and I wasn't sure if that was just me zoning out from being fucked from working the whole day, or if it was, but it literally was. And in the last scene, Liam Neeson actually sums it all up to Forrest Whitaker and sums it up for the rest
tells,
of us.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, fucking, what is this
Shouldn't
writing?
Have to do that.
Come
yeah.
on, guys. I think it's better than A Walk Among the Tombstones. I don't think it's as good as
One and
Taken
two.
Definitely not as good as Taken 1. Fucking.
Best Taken since number 1. What?
No. But I give it a 3 out of 5. It's sitting on around the same that the A Walk Among the Tombstones is.
That's a pretty decent David score. I can sense that. Like, I feel like we've done this enough now that I know what you will give something.
Yeah.
If you agree with me. Like, if you agree with what I say, I have a general... There's
it's
a general
go,
assumption.
Because like, what do you give it? A 2?
I gave it 2. You're normally 0.5... to one
above you,
almost always, unless you're on the opposite side of the scale. When I'll give something a 2, you'll give it like a 4 or 5.
But I'm feeling like you're being like, I'm probably more forgiving of this film in particular
because you love it, because you love
it. It's so easy to rag on all these bad things, and it's all we're getting, all we're really saying that's good. Oh, that was cool action,
yeah, but it's
which is
film.
A big thing, yeah. It's a very big thing, and this is a good, like, I definitely think you should see this in cinemas. Like, if you're a fan of Neeson or Taken, go see it in cinemas, because these action sequences need to be seen on a big screen. the story can be waited for DVD.
just skip certain scenes. Yeah.
But anyway, let's wrap that one up. Thanks for bearing with us over these last 2 weeks.
Fuck you. Guys. No, I'm sorry. That was I'm just upset. I'm just tired.
Yeah, it's getting late, and we've done two reviews. But next week we'll be back with a full episode.
Yay!
I believe next week is American Sniper.
Oh, Bradley Coops.
I am so excited for this movie.
What are we missing out on? We're missing out on Unbroken, and then what?
No, it was because this week as we recording this was Dumb and Dumber, Taken, and all that. So we only miss a week, which is the Unbroken week.
Wouldn't we miss 2 weeks because you're gone for 2 weeks?
No, because this doesn't come out for a week. It's only
Thursday. Oh fuck! Right. Wait, no.
Yes.
Thursday. So the Thursday that just
we
passed.
We just released one.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
But yesterday.
Yeah. This is new movie week right now, so we're a week ahead.
Oh my god! Sorry, we've never been ahead. Yeah, we don't do things early.
Kind of mixed up.
Oh fuck my life.
So we only miss Unbroken, which I don't know. I probably will see it, but I wasn't all that interested in it, to be honest.
I was. I like war movies. You know this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like Angelina Jolie though.
Me neither. And the fact, I think I'm the same. Like, it's like. Directed by Angelina Jolie, as if I'm meant to fucking assume that she's like this spectacular director because her name pops up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
From the director of Angelina. Fuck off.
I probably would have been more interested in it if I'd, if it was just a generic director, some nobody. But it was filmed here. It was filmed on the Gold Coast. Yeah.
That's a little mean of me, by the way. Like, I went a bit angry, but fuck you, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, something about, I don't know, I've got something against her, I can't...
It's a name drop, that's what it is, for you and me, because she's not a good actress at all. I don't like Angelina Jolie. She started off with Tomb Raider, for God's sake. Fucking Tomb Raider.
I preferred her back in Tomb Raider days than what I do
now. But she got, like, to the point where she's this, like, one of the biggest celebrities around, from fucking Tomb Raider, and from having an affair with Bradley Pitts.
And large titties. That's generally what,
breasts.
Yeah, that's. I think that's more what got her into limelight.
Anyway, thank you very much, folks.
So next week, American Sniper, big movie. Brad Coops, Clint Eastwood directed. I've talked about it a little bit. I'm fucking so excited.
Me
the trailer
too.
Have you seen the trailer now? Haven't you? It's fucking awesome. I can't wait. So that's gonna be a big one
week. Might have a few bevs.
Yeah, it might. I think it might be number 20. So.
Yeah, celebratory. We're not trying to tell you it's going to be big because we don't fucking know if it's number 20 or not. But if it is, well, it'll be fun.
If it's 20, it'll be big. It will be our return to form of our full episodes.
Have a good one, folks.
So until then, we will leave you with this little ditty.
Play the music, fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Taken 3, its merchandising, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Toes is performed by Glass Animals.